everyone, and welcome to JeffG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Yesterday I took a break, and today I'm here. There wasn't much happening yesterday, and I was tired. I was feeling pain in my back, exhausted from household duty. Also, lots of shoveling. I've had to do a lot of snow shoveling to just keep a little space for my car to be able to get out of the driveway. We are at the middle of the winter. Boat owners are displacing a large island. My God. They are collectively pushing a floating island. I can't believe there's a floating island and there's these huge trees on it. So it's been floating for a while. Must have been floating for a while. Speaker's Corner says Tucker X Putin combo could be fun. Yes, I'm expecting strongly something of interest here. Can't wait for this to be released, but for now, Tucker has been observed in Russia, and when asked about it by a Russian guy, he was acting like he doesn't know. Maybe I will interview Putin. Who knows? I'd be surprised that Tucker would ever make it into Russia if it's not with express permission for interviewing Putin. It wouldn't be very smart of him to show up in Russia if it's not for this. Ben Shapiro, E. Michael Jones was pointing out a hypocrisy here. Ben Shapiro in 2014 says the right side of history may be the most morally idiotic phrase of modern times. History is not God and has no morality. And then in 2019, my new book, The Right Side of History, is out today. I'm biased, but I think it's really important. Interesting. I'll probably never read a book like this because political thinking is not as interesting as scientific thinking. It's over-evaluated. It's useless. Ultimately, you have the political thinking that you need to have to push the interest of your side forward. And that's why every possible political theory is possibly expressible. And ultimately, what I would expect from Ben Shapiro in the book is just to lay out what could be a compromise between the right wing of the US and the interest of the Jews, always, of course, with a priority on the interest of the Jews. So I don't expect anything interesting. I wouldn't read that. Yesterday, I was trying to bring back the 90s energy in my life. And I realized that Linné Nystrom, the singer of Aqua, was the first e-girl. Linné Nystrom is the first e-girl. Changed my mind. You know these e-girls who color their hair unrealistic colors and they make some sexy moves to the camera? That was basically what she was doing in the Lollipop video clip. Woman I've been following in her trail. Here we see Delphine with the very same type of unrealistic hair color. In this particular case, she was selling bath water that she's taken a bath in. But that is exactly what you see in the Lollipop video of Aqua. I am the candy man. There was always, in the 90s, there was always a male in those disco techno songs, dance song. Always a toxic male bringing the grave voice and masculinity to an otherwise very high-pitched song.
coming from Bounty Land. I have the candy man. Coming from Bounty Land.
It wasn't good music. It's not good music. It's not particularly intelligent. But still, it's better than what they do today. And it was more cringe and marked and intense and done in a... It was direct. It was directly cringe. I don't know how to express it. It was purr. There was something purr. I watched the whole video. There's not a single black person in this whole clip. The last stand of implicit whiteness, ladies and gentlemen. Four people in a group. First, why do we need a group for techno songs? I'm not sure. See, this is what reminded me of the E-girl streamers. You see her seat, all aluminium paper-like. This is exactly what you see today on Twitch. You go on Twitch, you're going to see woman making sexual moves toward the camera on an aluminium paper background. They are poorly imitating Japanese stuff, says Saturn Shine. Was this Japanese inspired? Alright, not super interesting, but it was another era of life. Mark Cuban is constantly a target of the right these days. People are annoyed at the fact that he was so... you know, there's this form of male cockery toward the left, where instead of making a case that maybe some ideas of the left are true, they will just assert it. And this is what Mark Cuban has been doing. He's come and he said, "Oh, I like diversity. In fact, I'm making lots of money with diversity because everyone knows that if you hire diverse people, you will make more money. It's just a business decision." And it's like none of this has been proven. It's extremely unlikely. The studies that claim this, they go into areas where, of course, if you go downtown and you have bigger enterprises, these bigger enterprises will have two characteristics. They will have more customers and they will also hire diverse teams. But that doesn't mean that it's your diverse team that has increased your productivity. It just means that there is a correlation between where minorities live and big cities. Now, that is expected, and it's known that it's the case. But if you can't control for this properly, you really can't know to what extent is diversity hiring as a practice reducing the productivity of civilization. We'll probably never know to the exact measure, but to claim that it's a positive impact is a wild claim, an absolutely wild claim in the face of all the IQ measures that we know of, all of the criminal measures that we know of. It would be super, it would be kind of surprising if across all areas that we can measure properly, minorities are doing bad, but suddenly in employment, they are the model employee. Mark Cuban is having a meltdown on X. This is the post that triggered him. His paternal grandfather changed the surname from Chabaniski to Cuban after his family immigrated from Russia. That's a relatively old tweet, but Mark Cuban has started retweeting accusations of him being a Jew. And that's the current status. He considers that there is too much hostility on X. Isferia says, you make more money because a diverse workforce can't form unions. Perhaps. Perhaps there is less of a solidarity when you divide and conquer your corporation. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, a question. Is there a distinction between memory and recall, or are they the same thing? I think from an engineering perspective, we are talking about two concepts. Like if you're talking about a hard drive, for example, there is the fact that the hard drive is written into, but that doesn't mean that you can get the data immediately. You're going to need to go through a process of recall to kind of output this data into a useful stream. I guess you could say that it must be somehow that way also for biology, that there is just a state of the brain in which things are recorded, and then there are states of the brain in which you pull out this information that you've recorded for active use. And this pulling out could be called recall. So yes, I would say those two concepts, they must have a separate existence to some extent. But I don't know. We would need to know more about the circuitry of the hippocampus to really say, well, that is recall and that is memory. Our understanding is not deep enough to come with a specific theory on this. Society is one step closer to dystopia. Vision Pro early adopters spotted in the wild. I don't know these videos. I don't know if they are organized, because I've seen this for a couple of days. You have people wearing the Vision Pro while on auto drive on Tesla. And he would be basically touching his windows in his virtual space. So the Vision Pro seems like kind of an interesting idea and gadget, but I know that it always comes down to massive limits. I'm trying to find here. Yeah, so here's another view of a guy. I don't know to what extent these videos are arranged. He's like typing and moving his windows in his virtual world. That is funny. So basically you see six windows when you put these glasses on. These glasses on also allow you to see the real world, because the windows are just transparently overlaid over the real world. So you can continue to function in the world. I'm trying to find the video that I had trading Vision Pro. There was a guy who showed... Okay. So that is how the Vision Pro is experienced. You can have six different windows, maybe more. And they are like computer windows that are floating in the space around you. And when you look right, it really moves the window so that you start looking to that window, or that window, or that window.
And the money's hard to make, so I bet they on their face right now. I know.
So those are the kind of windows that they see when they walk on the streets. I'm pretty sure that you can't do very fine stuff. This is what annoys me. I don't know what's the resolution. How do they experience the resolution? But I expect that it's going to suck. And it's very overpriced. It's $3,000 to get a 256 gigabyte version, and even more to get the higher gigabyte versions. I just think this technology is not developed enough that I could trust that I can do anything serious with it. And on top of it, you are moving like with your hand like this. I'm not sure about the bandwidth. The bandwidth between this machine and your hands, is it like a phone? Probably. You probably can't do much more than a touch phone. So I would be surprised if it's at the point where you can type efficiently and actually work on this. Sense of Progress says, oh, great, we can look at six screens at the same time. They can stick it where the sun does not shine. Okay. Simeon says, are you guys also sensing a shift in the Twitter feed content that you are getting? A lot of woke, pro-black, and pro-Democrat election programming. I've just noticed a sudden shift. Yeah, it's weird. It's very weird. I've seen it. They've put on, someone that I had forgotten existed. I woke up yesterday, and on my feed, there was Will Chamberlain. And I was like, an omen has been declared on my life. I was like, oh no. The return of Will Chamberlain. And Will Chamberlain, to me, is very associated with this whole Republicans, but not Trump, and this kind of subtle centrism within Republican talk. And it's not good news when Will Chamberlain is promoted against by the algorithm. I had totally forgotten he existed. I remember back in the days that there were, I think Richard Spencer had commented on him on my show. I remember it's just bad news when Will Chamberlain is here. And then I realized, okay, so the Twitter algorithm has decided we are in an election year. We are in a Trump cycle. Basically, the algorithm has detected the signs of 2016 again. And that's why a Will Chamberlain pops back in my feed when he hadn't shown there for years. So I think, in a way, it's kind of encouraging. It's a sign that the leftists are activating their machine. You know how they annoy us with micro-chimerism and weird questions? I think that the farm bots are the bot farms are coming back. The false messaging toward violence will be coming back. And you're also going to get a lot of push for that centrism, non-Trump version of the Republican Party. But anyways, it doesn't matter because all of this is coming back ultimately because the Twitter algorithm has detected we are in a 2016-like context. So I would take it as very white pilling. It's white pilling because in 2016, this happened. And the left has been pissed off by it. The left has been trying to find a solution to keep that from happening again. Naberius says Twitter is still full of leftist agents. Yeah, which is why I'm an old school guy of the internet, and I still believe that our public thinkers should be passed under the crucible, the test of fire. And the test of fire should be the ability to say the truth on a very edgy subject, the kind of subject that will get you canceled everywhere, that will bar you from any employment. To me, that is the ultimate test of, is this person really into this for real, or are they just an agent of blurring for some other side or some gay up that I don't understand all of the extensions of? To me, that is what we need to return to. You want your creds as a public thinker. You're going to have to say something that is true. And yet that no one wants to say. that is the standard to me. Spindly Opinion says Elon did not get rid of all the leftists in the staff or the algo. Certainly not. There is always the danger of an absolute return. For now, we can say, well, thanks for bringing us back on Twitter. But if he brings us back to organize a defeat, like I've been talking for years about engineered defeat, which is what the leftists want. They don't want there to be no racist anymore. They don't want there to be no right-winger anymore. They want these people to be there, but to lose. And that demands a great amount of care, because completely eliminating the right from the public space could be very easy. In a way, it's what cable TV has been doing for 40 years. And yeah, you can do it. You can pull this. But what the leftists really want is they want these low viewership shows. They want to constrain you to a dead end of civilization. They want to see that you're there, but that, oh, look, he's not having success. And then they want their streamers and their videos to be to look popular. And that is what was delivered basically by the Susan Wojcicki of this world. It's like a biased algorithm at the core that will systematically redirect people toward leftism. That was what led to the rise of bread tubing, which, you know, airing these fat guys talking about social co-ops, worker co-ops, I can't believe that there is a natural market demand for this. First, if you're so obsessed about worker co-ops, you probably don't have enough money to give super chats. So there's no business there for the bread tubers. But the bread tuber have been foamed into existence by Susan Wojcicki. Today I banned MB14. Because MB14 is this annoying guy who's been sending $1 super chat, and he's been annoying me with silver. And yeah, I can take your annoyance about silver every day, and I'm happy I'm making $1. I'm doing a little joke on silver, and I'm dunking on you, and that's okay. But this morning, he came and he commented on the video, and he started saying, Jeff, you better change your attitude and change what you cover, because you're going to lose me as an audience member. And threats of losing you as an audience member, I do not allow this. I do not allow this. To me, I will, if you threaten me that you are going to go, I will make sure that you go. I will make sure that you live by your threat. And so I have blocked you. You are now unable, MB14, to send super chats or to participate to the regular chat. This whole, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. First, please realize I'm an old man with a past success. You know, my success is behind me. My peak is behind me on YouTube. So I'm not here to gather big audiences. I don't care about losing audience. And secondly, you know, I'm not going to change my personality or my position on silver because some fucking rando on the internet thinks that silver. I can't believe that this seems to be all about silver. Although I don't know, he seemed to have other issues with my coverage. But whatever it is that you take issue with my coverage, whether it's silver or something else, I'm not gonna change for you. The one thing that you can contribute to this show is you can impose a subject to me by sending a super chat. But you cannot impose what I will think about this subject. I've worked hard enough in my life to have absolute liberty. Absolute liberty, which I've not given up on the face of threat, on the face of life destruction, on the face of national and international smearing. If you think I'll now give up my liberty for $1 super chats, fuck you, MB14, and fuck your silver. Spindly Opinion says he can't have been watching long if he thought threats would go down well with Jeff. Yeah, like there is a history of me banning people again and again for this exactly this threat. We have a continuation of the European protest. European farmers besiege the EU Parliament in Brussels. People are firing fireworks. Okay, that was a couple of days ago. First, they mock you. We have someone here. Someone saying that the Asian temptation is a bad direction. The yellow temptation. Krista says, I tell men this all the time, but men don't want to listen. Date Asian woman, I don't care, but then your offspring will be low T. Autistic incel losers will probably give you no grandchildren. Either way, your bloodline will end. Well, I'm not sure about this. You always have a 50-50 chance on each children to have a woman or a man. I believe that the Asian female child or the half-Asian female child will have evolutionary success, maybe even a little more. And then even if the male Asian child was a little lower on the dating market, you still compensate from the female being on average a little higher on the desirability market. So I'm not sure I agree that you are condemning your line of descent to an absolute failure by reproducing with Asians. And so I came with a sentence that they first they mock you, then they ignore you, then they fight you, and then you win, something like this. So we are at the first stage here. The European female is insisting to take back men. Anyways, that was always my plan with the Asian woman. It's always been to increase the realizations on the side of the European female that she could lose us, that we have an option to go out. So my goal has never been to engage forever with Asian reproduction, but it's always been to use Asians as a leverage. Dead Star says, JF, much love for the brilliant wisdom I've gotten from you for a mere buck. And he sends $1. Well, thank you so much. We're still doing good. We're still doing good financially. I was looking at this at the beginning of the month. It's all still viable, this whole little show, with the support from the Patreon, the Subscribe Star, the crypto donations, and you guys on Super Chat. It is all very viable. It's all paying me better than if I was a manager at McDo. And so I'm going to keep doing this. In fact, I would keep doing this even if I was paid a little less, because I like expressing my opinion every day. The feds have announced that they will not be charging the two guys who filmed a gay porno in the Senate hearing room. A MAGA grandma with cancer got jail time for walking into the Capitol, but a Dem staffer makes gay porn in a Senate hearing room and isn't charged. Justice is dead. Yes, they literally filmed anal porn in the Congress. And it's like, with your typical imagination, Democrats, you must be able to find a law that was violated here. This must be some kind of insurrection. If not against America, certainly against the laws of nature. But no, we can't find any rule that was violated. Apparently, you can film porn in the Congress if you're an employee there. You're telling me that there's not a little rule here that says employees should not, you know, whatever, use for personal reasons the installations of the government? No, They can't find a single law that was violated, and yet, if you walked in this place on January 6th, you were an insurrectionist. This girl has been looking on her husband's phone for cute pics of the kids, and then she discovered a whole face of her husband's life that she didn't know about. So yes, men use their phone as note-taking for proper connector, proper electricity connection, proper temperature, electrical testing. This is an electrical testing for current passing. That is what men do with their cell phone. We're not with our cell phone developing our social life or trying to get sex with other women. No, we are working for the world to function. Massachusetts, this is what I was titling with. Massachusetts has cut college degree requirements for 90% of state jobs. So I want to be clear here. There's two ways you could interpret my thumbnail, but one way could be, well, the college standards have been lowered by 90%, but it's not what's been happening. What's happening is that Massachusetts is tired of these governments, these agencies in the government, that are imposing a certain diploma to get a certain job, and you don't even need that diploma to do the job correctly. So in 90% of the case, they said, we are removing the college requirements. You don't need the college anymore. You can say, oh, well, I was 10 years in the army, and oh, it's a good experience, the army, so now you can do this job. That is very desirable. I would say that's one of the rare things that the Democrats have gotten right here, because Massachusetts is under a Democrat administration. Now, they have sprinkled this policy by saying, oh, it's going to lead to more diversity. It's going to allow us to hire people with different life history. So in a way, this new policy could lead in the wrong direction, because it could always be used as excuse to get the brown man and the brown woman in instead of the white person. So if it goes that way, I think it's a very bad policy. But I think we should learn from the idea here that arbitrary requirements for jobs is ridiculous, especially in a world where the quality of education has been so reduced. So we have to be careful not for this to be exploited as a kind of discretion moment for leftists to get in diversity and diversity and diversity. But I am one example of a guy who couldn't get jobs because people would be like, oh, you don't have exactly the diploma we're wanting. But it's like, I have a diploma that shows that I can do 100 times better than anyone with this diploma. Oh, well, you don't have the requirements. Like, I have enough history on my CV to show that I'm orders of magnitude more productive than one of these people who you got to get the right college degree. So I think it will reduce the bureaucracy. And I think we should pull this also in Republican areas, because it should ultimately what college will become in the end, it will be exposing itself for being basically a cartel for employment. Basically, college is a tax that the Jews charge before you can get employed. And that is all it is. And I think that eventually in time, maybe in 100 years, civilization will come to this realization that college doesn't really make you better. College was good because it was selecting quality. But the less it became selective, the more irrelevant it became. You don't learn in college, you get tested in college. So we can't take someone from the hood and put them in college and suddenly they know how to code. They will never know how to code. They will never be able to process this information. It's just too hard. And fourth, that ultimately the teacher class is a parasitic class for civilization. And they have placed their parasitism in a very critical spot of our economic infrastructure where you haven't even gotten the job and they're already draining your blood. Like, you're not at the point of paying taxes. You're not at the point of getting the job. You're before that. And there they are attaching a debt to you so they can get paid as teachers. They can get paid as teachers much more money than I get paid as a teacher, and I do it for free. And this whole system of brick and mortar education that cultivates the illusion of education, the illusion of training, and the illusion that this training has a value, is refusing to update itself to the modern times. Because we are in modern times here. I can show you guys how to do plumbing. I've even had a show where I explained the plumbing techniques with PEX pipes. Why is it that we need 10,000 plumbing teachers across all of America to teach people by packs of 20 and 30? We could have a single plumbing teacher, Papa JF. I could teach to the entirety of America on YouTube. And there you go. You've resolved the question of education for orders of magnitude less cost. But we don't have this. We have a whole system of self-employed, self-referred people who don't have to prove their value on the market. They just say they have value, and we believe them. Pex rules, says Stephen Robinson. Well, I hope that one day education can be entirely crushed, fully crushed in its current state. Education is this fraud I've just described under four bullet points, and I'll add a fifth one. Education is also an excuse for people to drop children to a daycare center. In fact, daycares, the invention of daycare shows you that the purpose of school is not to educate children. The purpose of school in the society of 9 to 5 is to keep children busy while their parents hope to get their hourly wages on the labor market. So that is what education is, and I hope one day it totally clashes, totally gets destroyed, and gets replaced by YouTubers and networks of parents and a much simpler system based on trust, based on personal relationship, and based on actual things that people need to learn. Angry Sicilian says, I bill out more than plumbers as a pool tech with zero education, lol. A pool tech. So you are ensuring that the pools are working? Man. I'm happy if you're making money from it, but holy shit, that sucks. Working with water. I like to work with water inside the pipes, but never outside the pipes. I wouldn't like to have to be in a pool to check something or to to de-pipe a pool, to change the filter. Go away says, no, he is Tim Pool's tech guy. Oh, okay, he's not a pool tech. He is Tim Pool's technical staff. Okay. By the way, I'll be traveling to the US soon. And I've written to Tim Pool. I'm asking to Tim Pool if he would like, when I do my travel to the US, I've asked if he would like me to appear on the Timcast. So for the next 2 months, that would be the right moment if you guys want to pressure Tim Pool. If you want me on Timcast, because many of you guys told me that they have spoken recently about AI and that my perspective was totally missing on their show. That Tim Pool was saying stuff like, oh, it's going to happen no matter what. We're going to be taken over by AI. But he didn't understand that we're being taken over by AI genetically. AI will farm us. So if you want to invest efforts on getting more people to know about the revolutionary phenotype, I think that your best effort, your best investment in the next 2 months is to write to Tim Pool, to maybe tweet at him, say, hey, Tim Pool. And, you know, be respectful. Don't bring up the fact that he's, you know, 25% Asian, 25% Inuit, 17% Middle Eastern. Don't bring any of this. Just be respectful. But you can ask him respectfully, Tim Pool, do you want to hear something absolutely stunning about the future of humanity? You need to invite JF. And it's one of the few few moments where I will be in the US. And I'm offering it for free to Tim Pool. I will pay for my own trip. I will just make sure that I put his studio on my itinerary, because anyways, I'll be traveling across the US in April. So yes, go see Tim Pool. People are pointing to the fact that he's bald. Don't bring this. Not the right moment. We can insult Tim Pool on his baldness in another time. For now, I would like to keep it friendly. Don't bring up the baldness. Just act as if his hat was hair. Like literally, just when you see someone with hair, you don't point to it. You don't look at their hair like this and you say, oh, you have hair. No. So act exactly like this, but with the Tim Pool hat. You know what I'm saying? Just keep it cool. Unpaused says, JF, how do I unclog my main line? It's backing up into the downstairs sink. Very easy, bro. First, you need to locate an entry into your drain line. Normally, you'll see that under sinks and any element in your house, you will see the drain line makes a U. And at the bottom of the U, very often, there will be a cap that you can unscrew. Now, you want to go to the hardware store and buy a long, long snake drain pull. How long? It depends on how long you estimate the distance to be from your place of entry to the output of your house. It's not that long, but if you have a big house, it can be long, depending on where you enter. Now you're going to take that snake drain. You advance like this. Now you're going to feel, oh, I'm feeling that there's a clog here. You just shake the snake and go back and forth. And you'll feel at some point that perhaps your snake is filled with crap. Just pull back the snake, clean it up, and then go back in. You can remove easily 6, 7, 8, maybe more shots of the snake drain remover. Basically, you're going to find there's kind of a white paste that accumulates. It's kind of G-proc type material, like plaster or something, or maybe paint. I don't know what accumulates, but it's kind of very hard to dissolve crap that is pasty, that is white. It doesn't smell like shit. So it doesn't seem like it's shit, but there is something in the drains that accumulates. And so you want to remove it with the snake drain. And the snake drain, you know, most of people think of it as maybe unclogging your bath like 1 foot below your bath, or unclogging your toilet 1 foot below your toilet. The reality is you can go with the snake drain and and go through the entire drain system of your house. You just have to understand how are the curves built in my drain system. Do I have a 90 degree angle here? Do I turn here? And you'll get used to push the snake drain very far in that system of tubing that your drain is. And it can go as far as get into the public sewers, really. So that is what you have to do. Once you do this, you will see for years you're going to have unclogged your old system and it's going to be working perfectly. Scandalous Senate deal allows 1.5 million illegals per year, slides up to 2.3 billion to NGOs trafficking them, and gives 60 billion to Ukraine. Man, at this point, we have leverage being used. So, oh, we're not going to help you on Ukraine if you don't give money to Israel. Well, we're not going to help you on Israel if you don't give money to the migrants. In the end, we have now a complete legal bill that is meant at giving your money away to Israel, Ukraine, and illegal migrants. and they dare call this an anti-immigration bill. It's not. It literally legalizes the idea that, oh yeah, we have to give funding to these migrants because they are coming here to apply through the system. So we have to give them money and funding. NGOs are being cared for. $2.3 billion to the NGOs that are making sure that the migrants come in. Absolutely scandalous. There is nothing in this for the American people. These are the U.S. states losing and gaining population. You can see that the coastal and more leftist areas are losing in yellow. And there is a strong reconcentration in Texas and Florida. I think that is a bait. I think there's way too many people added there. I think it's going to be a filter for retards. I'm telling you in advance. 15, 20 years from now, you'll be wondering, JF, why have I moved to Florida or Texas? And now it's a crappy place. I can see trends in advance. I'm a mathematician. I'm used to theorize about the world. If you gain 1.6 to 1.7% of population growth, and it's not through birth of a proper demographics, then it's something else. Then it's a bunch of parasites. It's a bunch of parasites coming from this kind of, oh, well, it's becoming hard to live in California, so I might as well go to Texas. And, oh, it's becoming hard to live in Nevada, and I might as well go to Texas. It's the place of freedom. And the problem is, you are filling Texas right now with the very people who have the genes that have fucked up California. So personally, I think that there is a great future in the center of America and the more northern part of America. Even here, I think it's a little too Western. I think that this is the future of America. The rest is all going to go to shit. Amazon sell these asses for $19,000 because no one can afford real houses.
Just arrived.
Let it fall.
Oh, freaking way.
Yo, it's legit.
So basically, at first, it's the size of a container, but then you can deploy the sides. And boom, double container size now. You can deploy the other side. Now you have triple container size. Listen, you don't need much more than this to live, really. And certainly if you live alone, that is absolutely sufficient. And even a family. There are families who have been raised in small spaces like this. Totally works. So I'm all for this. But the big problem we're faced is the red tape of cities that demand that you have a foundation for your home. That is something very common in Canada. So we probably can't even have this in most places in Canada. They will ask you to have a foundation and they will give you tickets from the city because you don't have a foundation. The fact is, we have to get used to the fact that foundations are necessary only for big houses. And living in small pods like this, I think there's a justification. Like, you can live for maybe a decade, two decades in this for $20,000. You are saving massive amount of money compared to having a house. Phantom of the Odyssey says the state won't allow it. They should, because why? Why do you want to constrain me to have to pay my houses super high prices? I mean, I guess probably because you're in bed with BlackRock and whatever. Probably it's a money-making scheme for house builders. But human life can be made more efficient with this. Raised Fist says you need to buy land. Definitely, I would highly recommend, even if you were to go for the pod life, make sure that you don't rent your location, because the rent, you never know, they will increase the price. And suddenly it becomes too high of a price for you to live. So do deploy your pod into a small land that you bought. That is it for tonight. Was there any other news I wanted to cover? Oh, a victim of the an ex-YouTuber who has been killed by the whatever they call it, the suicide option of the medical system. Lauren, an autistic person. Lauren passed away peacefully on January 27th at age 28. She requested euthanasia after years of unbearable suffering caused by severe myalgic encephalomyelitis. Lauren's family and loved ones are touched and overwhelmed by the interest that the media has shown. And she was showing a picture of me getting euthanized, and the last thing she would do would be to lift the thumbs up. It's not made because it's not Canada. She was Dutch, and so it's a Dutch suicide program. Well, there you go, Lauren, the Dutch artist. I don't know her. I didn't know her, but she's dead now, so... That's it. Simeon says, guys, check out West Virginia. Land is dirt cheap. Second most white state behind Maine. Beautiful and green, very fertile, and population declining, according to map JF just showed. Okay, I don't know. I'm not in a position to recommend or not West Virginia. I don't know about the place. I know Tim Pool was there. And then he moved to Maryland, I think. Anyways, That's it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow.